Greetings, my wonderful friends, and welcome to the AddedSouls.com podcast, powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Spencer, Wisconsin. As always, Stefan Maia here, your audio and video servant for this podcast session. And what are we looking at this very day? We're looking at Sabbath keepers. Sabbath keepers is the topic of discussion for our session broadcast on this day. Friends, take a journey with me. Please, listen. Jesus Christ prayed to his Father, the Maker, the Creator, the Great I Am, that we may be united. His followers may be united, being one people of one mind. And of course, this attitude, behavior, command, and wish, and prayer is seen throughout his ministry and his apostles. And we see the importance therein because we can find knowledge and unity together when we are united. And friends, what we see in today's world of Christendom, if you will, is great division. It's a mess. You look everywhere and there's all kinds of different churches with all kinds of different teachings. Which one's right? Are they all right or are they all wrong? Listen, we need to ask these questions. They're very important. They have to do with our eternal soul. They have to do with where we are going to end up once we leave this very earth. That's important. I want you to take attention, and I want you to see that the reason I'm going to be sharing information pertaining to Sabbath and those who keep it is with love and respect. I want you to think outside the element in which you perhaps were born into with the traditions. We, many of us, most of us, were given a religious belief. We were given a religious system in which we were to abide by traditionally. Okay, some of us that might be Catholicism. Others of us may be the Protestant movements and all the congregations therein, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Wesleyans, all of that. So there's all kinds of different religious views and denominations we may have been handed while we were living in our youth and growing up. And we've grown accustomed to those we see at this church that we've been given in tradition or that we've allowed our minds to follow. And we see people there we care for and that we love, that were kind to us. Perhaps there are other people there that were not so kind and not so nice with us. But the fact is, we tend to attach emotional investment to the church that we grew up in or our family members are part of. You know, we tend to want to cling to that and stay with that. Because if we go away from that church or that religious tradition we've been given, then we feel like if we're betraying our family members and we're betraying God in some way, shape, or form because we're allowing ourselves to depart from this thing, this religious institution that we've been handed down in tradition from our forefathers and so on and so forth, okay? Listen, we've all been there, those of us who sought the truth in life, wanting to be set free, those of us who just wanted to know what the scriptures have to say regarding many things. We all have to take this journey if you are an honest person. Remember, Jesus came speaking to those who were religious and telling them you're lost. You've missed the mark. You don't get it. You need to repent. You need to change your mind. And they were greatly offended to the point where they brought him to the cross because, well, they thought themselves religiously amped and enlightened, and they had been following their traditions for centuries, and how dare this man tell them that they were wrong? I mean, they believe themselves to be people of God, and how dare they? And the same thing with the apostles, and nothing's changed for true Christians, faithful Christians, Christians who obeyed the New Testament gospel system and pattern, and it's important for us to be honest at this moment and just listen to the information, okay? Pay attention. Jesus Christ, deity walking on earth 2,000 years ago. This plan for him to walk on this earth in physical flesh was predestined, this plan, from the very beginning. We see the first messianic prophecy to heal the sin-sick world way back in Genesis 3:15, okay? And throughout the pages of the Old Testament, we see prophecies, the mouthpiece of God, the prophets speaking of messianic things to come at a certain time and age when the fulfillment was to appear. And Christ, deity walking on this earth, Jesus, the Messiah, the King, the Anointed One, he walked this earth and he died willfully on a cross. He was brought there by religious people who didn't like to be told they were wrong. They were greatly offended. They didn't like to be judged, okay? They didn't like anybody telling them they were wrong in their religious views because, well, we've held those views forever, so how dare you, you know? Nonetheless, Christ willfully gave up his spirit. That was on a Friday. He was buried in the tomb on a Saturday, and he rose from the dead on Sunday. Now, that's a scriptural fact. You can't deny, well, you can try to deny that and reject that all you want, but that's a Bible fact. It's historically recorded, it's inspired, it's God-breathed information. You can read all about that in the gospel accounts, specifically Luke chapter 23 and 24, I believe, will have that very sequence of time taking place. And you can see it in the text. It's plainly written. The only reason you wouldn't, again, is because you're biased with your agenda and you're not allowing yourself to be honest with what the Bible says. So death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ takes place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay? This was all to fulfill, to bring to completion the predestined plan that was set in motion from the beginning to redeem mankind, to set us free from the bondage of sin and lies and all sorts of religious mumbo-jumbo stuff, okay? Everything that keeps us away and separated from God, Jesus fulfilled in making, creating this perfect path because he was perfect. This perfect way, because he was perfect. Now, he was tested and tempted in all the same ways human beings like you and I are tested and tempted, and yet he remained pure. He could have chosen to sin. Anyone telling you otherwise is lying to you. That's why we can identify with Christ. That's why God can identify with us and see what we go through, because he went through the same things, yet without sin. What a beautiful master. What a wonderful thing to follow a master that was able to say no to sin. Anyways, so he raised on the Sunday. And of course, he appeared to 500 plus witnesses, and he spoke to his apostles, and he once again ascended. You can read about that in Acts chapter 1. And it's important because on the day of Pentecost, which was on a Sunday, the kingdom that Jesus Christ bled for was founded. It was built. And its doors were opened. Okay? Now, this coming kingdom of God, this coming church that would belong to Jesus Christ, his body of believers, this was birthed from the mind of God. It was prophesied by the prophets of old. It was promised by the Christ, it was purchased by his blood, and it must be practiced by our faith. A faith in action, not a meritorious faith, but a faith that trusts wholeheartedly in the commands of Jesus Christ. And Jesus walked this earth with his ministry, proclaiming a coming kingdom that would take place and be built within that generation. Anybody telling you otherwise is lying to you. Anybody telling you that the kingdom of God is not the church is lying to you. Anyone telling you that the kingdom of God was not built, established during that generation, the first century, is lying to you. Now, you have to pay attention to scriptural things. In all instances, this kingdom, this church, it was built. Its doors were open. It was founded on Jesus Christ. It's his church. He's the head of this body, this kingdom. It was opened and built on the day of Pentecost, which was a Sunday. And it was done so with great power from on high, the Holy Spirit, okay? And it was during the Roman Empire, and it was in Jerusalem. Now, the prophets Daniel and Joel and many others had been prophesying about this very thing centuries prior to this happening. This was planned. God had planned this to take place. Why is this so important while we're looking at the topic for Sabbath keepers? Listen. Jesus was going to bring to completion the fulfillment of messianic prophecies to which his ministry was brought forth to redeem us, to save us, rescue us from the domain of bondage and shackles, sin, to forgive us of our sins and graft us in as citizens of his church, his kingdom. All of this took place on the day of Pentecost, Sunday, the hub moment of inspired writ allows us to see this revealed truth in Acts chapter 2 taking place, the conditions given extended by the apostles who were directly inspired. They were guided into all truth. They were given the comforter, the promise of the helper, the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, so that they would know all things that Christ had taught them while they walked with him during his ministry. This is important because all of this good, patterned, intelligent system that God loves us and shows us his grace was to manifest itself with a new covenant, a new system of law, a law of grace. That's why you have a book in your hands that had 66 books divided in two, one section called the Old Testament, and this new section now called the New Testament. Let me show you a simple illustration to bring your mind up to date here, up to par. Listen, I am a father. I have children. Let's say today I write a will for my children. It is specific for my children and my children only. This will, this testament that I write, it is specific for my children, and it has a designated stewardship of time specific to my children. Let's say the Lord allows me to live 20 years more, 40 years more. 40 years from now, I write a new testament. Things have changed. My children have grown. Things have expanded in the family. Perhaps I have more children. Perhaps things have added to the family. My children perhaps get married and have children. Things have changed. I update. I bring this new testament, this new system for them. And I die. I pass from this life. Let me ask you a simple question. Which testament, which covenant will be in effect once I have passed from this life to my children? Which would be in effect? Which would the lawyer, the expert in things of the law, he's looking at my testament, he's looking at this new covenant for my children. Is he going to go to the old? You know the answer to this. It's an honest answer, if you're an honest person. No, he will not go to the old. The Old Testament that I wrote 40 years prior is null. Now, does that mean my children can't look at that testament and learn from it? Well, of course not. They should. But are they to live with that Old Testament law? No. The conditions have changed. They are now to adhere to the New Testament, the last one I wrote for them. You understand that, don't you? Follow the train of thought. God allowed an Old Testament system, a Mosaic law. It was specifically given and written for his people, the Hebrews. It had a designed stewardship of time in which these things, those old ways and ordinances, would come to completion and end. With how? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and he died on that cross, and many things took place on that cross. One of them being, he nailed all those old ordinances to the cross. A New Testament system was now being written and placed into action. The old law was going away, and this new system was now making its way inwards. The system of the Jewish system was going away. The old law and its Ten Commandments and all of that, that was specific for those people during a specific designated stewardship of time had come to its completion. Christ was now bringing a new covenant, a new law in which they had to obey and live by. It's important we understand this because the grace period in which we see the church doors opened and citizenship now available in Acts chapter 2, we see how the Jews, still meeting on Saturday for the Sabbath, had to adhere to a new pattern, a new testament, which was worship, which was to take place on Sunday. That is why the kingdom of God, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, Christians therein, citizens therein, the body of believers meet and assemble on Sunday. You can see all kinds of examples of that very thing taking place in the New Testament Bible. It's important we understand that. Because if we don't understand that, what we're going to be doing is going to the Old Testament law and trying to bring back Old Testament ways and law in a New Testament age where it does not belong. Okay? We can't do that if we plan on going to heaven one day and being pleasing to God. It cannot be done. And there was a great period of transition taking place here where God's grace was extended while this New Testament was being implemented, administered. And it was important that the apostles rebuked many Christians who were trying to cling back to Judaism and the old ways of the old law. Galatians 5:4, Paul speaking therein to the Christians, telling them you're falling from grace if you bring back anything from the old law, including keeping the Sabbath. Now, did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Of course he did. He kept that Saturday because Jesus was born a law-abiding citizen to fulfill all things. But he was not coming to keep that law in an administrative position. He was going to take that away, blot it out, nail it to a cross. Colossians 2:14, bringing a more mature covenant. So most certainly Jesus and the apostles, you would read of them gathering on the Sabbath, the Saturday, not to keep it, for it was going away. Look at all the examples of the New Testament pattern and system once this kingdom, this New Testament has been put in motion. What's taking place here? They're worshiping on Sunday, the first day of the week, the day Christ rose from the dead, the day the doors of his kingdom, his church, this New Testament system that was transitioning into motion and administration was now taking place. Why do you think Paul speaking to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, were telling them, you cannot be saved by those old ways in the Old Testament? This may be hard to listen to if you're a person who has been attending a church that keeps the Sabbath. Please stay with me. I'm trying to help you with the information of the New Testament system that'll set you free from the lies you've been believing. Paul speaking to the Christians in Ephesus, telling them you cannot go back. Friends, the book of Hebrews and Romans is filled with information and command telling us we have a better covenant now, a New Testament system, and not to go away from the practices that are now administered to us. Don't go back to the Old Testament laws. Now, have many of the commandments given in the Old Testament transferred over to the New Testament? Yes. Thou shalt not murder is seen all over the New Testament covenant, the kingdom of God, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. But the Sabbath keeping on a Saturday was done away with. If you are part of a church that keeps the Sabbath on a Saturday, You've missed the mark, and you will not go to heaven. That's a solid, God-authored fact. You have to look into these things. I'm begging you. Everything you've been told about verses that have been cherry-picked out of context in order to make you believe, since you were a little person, growing up in this environment and tradition, that you must, as a Christian, keep the Saturday as the Sabbath day in this new Jerusalem, this new Israel, this spiritual Israel, you've been lied to. You've been lied to. Sunday, the first day of the week, is the day Christians assemble to worship God. The Sabbath day is done away with. That Saturday is gone. We now have a new Sabbath, a spiritual Sabbath. It's on the first day of the week, every week. Pay attention. The Old Testament and its Ten Commandments were given to a specific people, the Hebrews, for a specific stewardship of time. That time ended once Christ had fulfilled in bringing the new law of grace. And this took place and began effect on the Sunday of Pentecost, where the church doors had been purchased and opened. And that is why we see Christians from that moment on assembling and worshiping on Sunday, naturally following the pattern of God when His sun rose on a Sunday. The first day of the week, every week, was now the spiritual Sabbath Christians must observe. The gospel of Jesus Christ first came to the Jews. The Jews still observed the Saturday, the Sabbath, but they were being transitioned into a new covenant. Grace took place during this time, and they were being brought to a new system, worship system. The worship system is found on a Sunday, the first day of the week, every week. Nowhere will you find in the New Testament, once the doors of the kingdom were opened and citizenship was now available, will you find Christians worshiping God on a Saturday. You won't find it. It's not there. Don't go looking for it. It's not there. You'll never find it. Now, you may have been told it's there, but it's not there. It just isn't. Sabbath keepers, I'm begging you, please, with all the love I have, if you have questions, let's talk it out. I'm a human being created in the image of God just like you. And I've had to go through these things to study them more accurately, and I'm sharing them with you because I want you to go to heaven one day. And you can't go to heaven if you are part of a denomination or an organization that was created by man in the early 1800s America, speaking things that you must keep the Sabbath on a Saturday. It's a false teaching, it's a false church, and I'm trying to help you get out of it. God is calling you out of it with His good gospel. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He brought a new system, friends, a new covenant, a new way to do things. We must worship God in spirit, that is, with the right mind, and in truth, which is the right doctrine. And the right doctrine is Christians meeting on Sunday, every Sunday, to worship Him. Saturday, the Sabbath, is gone. It was just for a specific people during a specific time. And if you would just take the time to open your mind and read the verses, you'd see in there the proper, rightly divided context telling you these things. Friends, please, I'm begging you, do what's right. Christ, having canceled out the certificate of death, debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And why is it that we want to do things like that? Bring back what Christ has nailed to a cross. We want to bring back the Sabbath and keep it on Saturdays, yet we don't want to bring back animal sacrifices. We're hypocrites. We're not consistent if we want to do things like that. We can't cherry pick and choose what we want to bring back from the Old Testament and leave out what we think, well, we just don't want to use that one this time. Friends, think for a moment. Use your God-given mind. Think. Everything in the Old Testament is for our learning. The New Testament tells us that. Go there and learn. Learn the nature of God. Learn the principles therein. Learn. Read it. Learn from it, but don't live there anymore. It's no longer your law. Your law is the New Testament. 9 of the 10 commandments has been reinstated and administered in this new covenant we now live in. But the Sabbath Saturday, it's done away with, man. It's gone. Leave it alone. Would you like to know more? Would you like to study these things? It's most important. It's most important that you come out of an organization, a denomination, because you won't make it to heaven. They will masquerade themselves as angels of light. People you trust, they will lead you to hell. Please, I beg you, contact us and study with us these things further. If you are honest, you will see it. You will see the truth. If you're dishonest, you're just going to reject it, mock it, insult it, go your own way, until that day when you meet the Maker and you remember this very podcast session and think to yourself, why didn't I just take that opportunity? Please give me another chance. And the Master will say, I never knew you. You don't want that to happen. Sabbath keepers, the only Sabbath keeping we're doing this very day in this new age, this Christian messianic age, this dispensation, stewardship of time, friends, is the spiritual Sabbath. And that's on a Sunday where Christians assemble and worship God in spirit and truth. Stefan Maillet here, your audio and video servant for this podcast session. We are the AddedSouls.com podcast, powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Spencer, Wisconsin. Hey, listen, we love you. We care for your soul. That's why we do these things. Stay positive, stay focused, and we shall most certainly meet again here next time, Lord willing. God bless.